Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. What's up, Rochester? Ben here. I hate long intros, so I'll keep this real quick. I was on an awesome podcast called Going Boldly with Russ the Big Guy Swanger. Russ is out of Binghamton, New York, and I love his show. He's a great entrepreneur coach with tremendous insight, great guests on every episode, and I was humbled to be on Going Boldly, so I wanted to restream his episode for my audience, you guys, the listeners, and that's what I'm doing. So without further ado, uninterrupted, this is me on Going Boldly with Russ, the Big Guy Swanger. Enjoy. I'd rather have 500 people that love my services, can get value from me, and I have great conversations with than a million.
This is Going Boldly, the podcast. Here's your host, Russ the Big Guy.
Hey, it's Russ the Big Guy. We are back in the studio today. Brent is here.
Howdy.
And wow, you know, I'm making friends all over the country. I was happy to come across Ben Albert. He is headquartered up in my old stomping grounds, Rochester, New York. So welcome to the podcast, Ben.
Russ, what's up?
So listen, Ben has Baubert Marketing, LLC, Rochester Groovecast, Rochester Business Connections, which is another podcast. And I think you'll enjoy his calm, smooth, easy presence. I don't know. Maybe you should be doing one of those overnight shows, Ben.
Hey, I'd love to.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And he has a beard. So it's a win all the way across the board.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that really struck me about Ben, as I mentioned, he has this sort of this calm, smooth, easy presence. He comes across, you know, as being pretty mellow kind of guy. I've listened to his podcast, and he had some really good guests and really interesting questions and stuff. So I'm hoping to get some information from him here about the marketing end too. Ben, I'd like to find out from you a little bit about the pandemic. You had mentioned that you took advantage of the pandemic and you were able to find new hobbies. You got some new training. You've been connecting with like-minded professionals, which I'm grateful for. Maybe you're an overachiever.
Not so much in the past. I wouldn't call myself an overachiever by any means. And thanks again, Russ, for having me on the show. I do really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Long story short, I had to kind of rewire my brain and change my lifestyle a little bit. I'm a huge music fan. And I would be at shows literally 3, 5, 6, 7 times a week. You know, I'm known for being that guy that the distance from Photo City Music Hall in Rochester to Temple Bar and Grill is probably about 1.5 to 2 miles maximum.
Did you run it?
And I wouldn't run it because there'd be at least 5 venues on the way. So I would try to go to 2-3 shows on any given weekend.
Yeah.
And music festivals is just a love of mine, going and being outdoors and camping and being with friends and getting a vacation from reality, you could call it, and spending time at a music festival. All of this got closed down. COVID hit and I was staying 600 feet away from music for quite some time because there was no live music. And I feel blessed that I treated it as an opportunity. I started hiking, which is something I really never really did much of. And I started focusing more on business and personal development and really building a brand of my own. Music, although I love the hell out of it, was absorbing probably 90% of my free time. So it was a big cultural shift for me, the pandemic.
Yeah, well, you know, people that are wired for success take those failures, mistakes, hurdles, roadblocks, the things that, you know, the universe throws at us. And then rather than sitting around moping, we get to work, right? Or we'll use our creativity or our resourcefulness and just come up with something new and exciting and come out of it bigger and bolder than we went in. Sounds like you've done that.
Yeah, bigger and bolder. I love it.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, that you mentioned with the music because I don't know if you know this. I used to work for a concert promoter when I was up there in the early 80s. And we did some major concerts up there, Grateful Dead. And I think everybody knows who the Grateful Dead is, regardless of how old you are or what genre you're into. But
that's that band that John Mayer started, right?
I think so. We just saw him on the Grammys the other night, I think, didn't we? Brenny here? So, yeah, there were some major concerts, you know, Police. Not everybody knows the Police if you're younger right now, but a lot of people do know who Sting is, the bass player Sting. And so there were some big concerts. Journey, when the original vocalist Steve Perry was singing, and Bryan Adams, who's like an old, almost retired guy now, had just started touring, opening for Journey. And one of my favorite bands at the time, Flock of Seagulls. And I've seen some bands kind of like playing that kind of music lately. The 80s music is back. Even some of the 70s stuff is coming back again. Yeah, what were you into, Ben?
A little bit of everything. Local music scene. Rochester has the whole Western New York, upstate New York region has a very affluent reggae scene, a surprisingly good bluegrass scene, listening to a lot of, you know, jam bands, progressive rock. Anything that's fun live. I like to go to a show and really experience the show. So a little bit of everything, but it was all about that live experience. So still is.
Yeah.
Still
is. Yeah. Some of our local bands in our area starting to play out again. Brenna's touring kind of crashed. I don't know if I mentioned Brenna's a musician. She has the recording studio next door and, you know, she was out doing quite a bit.
What, I love it.
Brenna, what is your experience with the pandemic as far as, you know, live music?
Well, I had a full calendar, and in 2 days, everything was canceled.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be safe, so there's only so much you can do, and you don't really have a choice.
Yeah. You miss it, though, right?
Yeah.
Have you been doing a lot of rehearsing with your bands?
No. Nope.
Well, what have you been doing musically?
Doing all the music behind the scenes of making the music.
Oh, production, writing. Ben, are you writing anything?
Not really. I'm a behind the scenes guy.
All right.
I feel like I'm an advocate. I'm a promoter at heart.
Yeah.
And when it comes to writing music, performing, I stink. I'm not being humble. I'm actually not very good. But I'm surrounded by incredible musicians. So I get to be their best cheerleader and help them out.
Yeah, what about with the Rochester Groove cast? What kind of artists do you have on there?
So I have had a little bit of everything. It is primarily Rochester musicians. Everything from like R&B and soul to bluegrass to, you know, back when festivals were out and about. Nikki Glaspie, she is in the Nth Power. She actually used to be Beyonce's drummer. So I had her on the show, and I just had Matt Green on the show. He's the promoter and co-owner of Flower City Station in Rochester, which is a venue that's near and dear to my heart. So a little bit of everything.
Since you have a marketing company, who is one of the local bands that might stand out to you that's doing a great job marketing themselves? And does anything come to mind? And like, what are they doing differently than the other bands?
You know, that's a great question. And probably a few months ago, I would have been stumped, but something immediately came to mind.
Yeah.
Shout out to the band, The Pickle Mafia.
That's a great name.
it is a great name. And every Charlie, Ben and Marco, they're all incredible musicians. They're in separate bands as well. But long story short, Charlie is basically the mastermind that created The Pickle Mafia. And he likes to make pickles, homemade pickles. And that's kind of where the name came from, however many, you know, two or so years ago. And it wasn't until the pandemic that they stopped being able to play live that he like 10x'd his pickle business, where basically they're recording in the studio, great videography, live streams, the whole shabam. But they're spending a lot of their time making pickles. You know, hundreds of jars being sold out in the Rochester area each day. And, you know, fans are taking pictures of the with the pickles. They're getting the ghost pepper pickles and like taking a video trying it and all these things to where I swear to God, you'd have to ask them. I think they're making a lot more money selling pickles than they were making playing music, which is it's creating basically a movement behind the band that they're always front of mind. You know, we taste them when we taste them. We taste the pickles while we listen to the music. And once things are up and running, I mean, they've taken this pandemic and really built their brand like crazy. So they're going to leave it a lot more popular than they walked in.
Wow, that is really interesting. And pickles is
pickle
kind of
mafia.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a weird thing, but it's working apparently. What are some of the things that they do? Do you know anything specifically? So this is great for people that are listening. They're, you know, our listeners are all over the country and they're small business owners, they're aspiring entrepreneurs. And so I like to try to give them something solid to hang on to. And I know that one of the things that you had said was that you like your interviews to have actionable steps so that people can actually do something. And that's what you like too, right? We try to entertain people so they hang around and pick up some good stuff that can help them. So does anything come to mind that maybe this band or maybe another one, you know, that is working, something specific?
I guess the easiest way to put it is have conversations. The more conversations you have, the more opportunities you have to collaborate, make sales, grow your brand. Have as many conversations as possible. I'm a huge fan of LinkedIn networking. Because, you know, I think LinkedIn is the new Facebook. The Facebook generation, they've all moved up to the business world. And LinkedIn is very similar in functionality to Facebook. So I like to have my conversations there, you know, because I'm a marketing business and I'm dealing with small business owners locally. What the Pickle Mafia is doing is they're creating a very unique relationship with their fans. So the first question I'd ask is, you know, who is my target market? Who is my audience? Who is the person that's going to support me, even if it's just a like, share, or talking about you? And what can I do to better connect to them? Pickle Mafia is just a great example because they have that fun niche of the pickle.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves pickles and everybody loves music. So you combine the two, it's a great way to connect with your music fans with pickles. And, you know, like I mentioned, building the social media, having people share the fact that they're ultimately eating your pickles and things like that. I guess my actionable, you know, and this is very broad strokes, but
yeah,
have as many conversations as possible and don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, if you sell someone a jar of pickles, say, listen, it would mean the world to me if you could just take a quick selfie and tag the Pickle Mafia. It goes such a long way. And so many people are happy to do it. Like everyone I've met in the business world, they're awesome business people. They have a great product. But like me, you know, originally at least, they're kind of shy to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
They'd rather uplift their clients or uplift the people around them. However, you need to ask for help and you're having these conversations, ask people to support you, ask them for recommendations, ask them for shares, ask them for referrals. I have a brand new marketing business. I think I'm near 30 reviews on Google. And the only reason I have 30 reviews is because I asked more than 30 people. I don't let a client go by without poking them hard and asking for that 5-star review. So talk to as many people as possible. And once you've given that value, don't be afraid to ask for, you know, reciprocation. Ask for help for you provided a service. Let's ask for help and they'll provide a service even if it's as simple as a direct message. Send someone the podcast, share it, review anything small. It all adds up to big.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So conversations, ask for help. I think those are the two main takeaways, right? The conversations, now you have your conversations via LinkedIn. What are some other ways people can have that conversation? And also maybe how to start that conversation, or how do you break the ice, I guess would be would be a way to say it. And a lot of, especially if, you know, if you're talking about creative people, very often they are shy, even performers, in social situations or in promotional situations, unless they're kind of a natural promoter. There's usually one in a group, but the majority of people, performers I found, entertainers, performers, artists in general, are kind of shy. They let their art do their speaking for them. They may not be so good in other, communicating other ways. So,
yeah, without a doubt. I'm going to think this out loud, because generally I'm on LinkedIn. I'm typing my messages, obviously. So it's a different form of learning. It's a different way to say it. My basic script, and I'll be quite honest, I got a lot of this understanding years and years ago, trying to learn about dating and trying to get out of my anxious self and get out of anxiety and actually walk up to somebody and say hello and not knowing what to say and not knowing, you know, not wanting to be rejected. I learned a lot of this stuff back then, and it blows my mind how it works great if you're single. It works even better if you're happy, you're not needy, it's a business context. All of the tangible steps are exactly the same.
Wow.
And it really all starts with this, Russ. And it can be in person at a networking event, or it can be on a LinkedIn message, a Facebook message, an Instagram DM, anything like that. You really just say, "Hey, Russ, my name is Ben. I wanted to say hello because I don't think I've met you yet." It's really that simple. I wanted to say hello because I don't think I've met you yet. The key word there is yet.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people. I know I'm valuable. I like networking and connecting to people. I don't think I've met you yet, but you should know me and I should know you. That's what's implied there. And it's, you're not trying too hard to do too much. What I like to add on to that, especially if you're a business person, it's a networking conversation, you want to provide value. So I make an observation, I compliment, and then I provide a solid call to action. So, "Hey, Russ, you know, my name is Ben. I wanted to say hello because I don't think I've met you yet. I went on your website and I noticed A, B, and C. You're really crushing it. I'm so impressed that you had this, you know, huge public speaking. You spoke at the church that I used to go to," anything like that. And then a compliment, like, "I'm really impressed with what you do." Call to action: "I actually have a podcast and we highlight public speakers in the region. I think you're a perfect fit for the show. Can we chat for a few minutes?" So I said a lot there, but what a lot of people do, Russ, is they say,
"Yeah,
hey, this is what I want from you," or, "Hey, this is my service. Hey, this is how you can help me." When I like to go in and say, "Hey, you know, we're on equal levels. I haven't met you yet. I'm happy to meet you. These are all the things that I think are awesome about you. You want to be complimentary. You want to give them value. And then you want something, if you're going to have an ask, it's got to be a value proposition that's beneficial to them. It's not, hey, this is how you can help me. It's, hey, this is how I can help you. I want you to come on my show because I want to highlight you because I think your message is incredible and I really want my audience to hear it." So there's a lot there, but you can fill in the blanks as long as you just introduce yourself with confidence. You basically say, "Hey, this is an observation I made. This isn't just the same message I've sent to everybody on earth. This is an observation about you. This is a compliment about you. And this is how we can provide mutual value."
Wow, that was good, Ben. That was very good.
I'll be the first to admit it. If someone's listening,
yeah,
I might have sent them that message because I don't send anybody just a canned message. But that is the platform I'm always looking at when I'm reaching out to someone new.
Yeah, I think that's how we met.
I think so too, because I was trying to connect I was trying to raise my networking group of podcast advocates, because honestly, podcasters are like my favorite people. So I reached out to you.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember for sure, but after you said all this, I'm imagining that's probably what happened. I get, as you can imagine, I get inundated especially since I started letting people know that I'm doing coaching. I'm getting inundated by marketers who have the next best plan to keep my pipeline full of prospects for, you know, coaching clients. And very often I get that DM or that direct message, that private message. It's basically like, hey, Russ, wanted to connect. And then the commercial right after that. And I'm like, oh, God. Now, a couple of those I found interesting for some reason or another. And but if they've been on my profile, at least I'll go back and say, hey, thanks for connecting. Thanks for looking at my profile. I do appreciate it. I'm a professional. I have professional services. They might be my customer. I might be their customer. We might just be friends and associates and never do any business with each other. But just knowing each other is good. And, you know, you can always make a referral or whatever, which I do a lot. So that's how we met, I guess. Yeah. So, and I'm glad we have a lot in common. So since I used to live up in that area, I had a house up there, a business up there. That was my stomping grounds, as I said. Worked for the concert promoter. That was probably the highlight of living up there. I love that. I had a great time. Somebody I'd always wanted to see was Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, Van Halen.
He's an older guy. Yeah. He had a solo career before that. It was one of my favorite albums was his Red album. So I got to see a lot of artists that I like, just like you did.
Love it.
Brenna's telling me to move along. I get a little wordy. I get a little wordy, but that's I can edit after. So
there's something that came to mind here too, because I appreciate meeting you, Russ, and ultimately our opportunity to chat, to network. And it goes back to what I said before, have more conversations. You know, a lot of people are like you. They're nice guys and they'll give you the benefit of the doubt until you screw up.
Yeah. That's it right there. You said it right there.
The best thing, exactly.
Well, not even screw up, Ben. I'm sorry, I'm talking over you, but not even screw up, but it's just screw me until they screw me. Right. Mistakes are different. You know, mistakes are okay.
You give people too much benefit of the doubt. You wait till they burn you.
Well, sometimes. If I see them burning other people, then they're out. But if they burn me, then they're done.
And my whole point here is the worst thing that could happen by starting a conversation is it leads nowhere. That's the worst thing that can happen. Mm. But the opportunities that come from having more of them and then turning those conversations into mutually beneficial relationships, that's where the gold's at.
Right. Okay, good. This is a good segue into what I wanted to talk to you about next. Followers on the Insta. What does that translate into? Does that translate into real conversations with people or driving them to other platforms or, you know, what happens there?
I think that translates into a bad joke.
Oh, and I thought maybe you got a million on Instagram.
I posted a photo that said, "We did it," or something like that. And it was a doctored photograph. I have like 900 followers on Instagram. It was a fun little troll because my assumption is people would understand that I'm a average size fish in a very large pond. I'm no Michael Jordan. I'm no Gary Vee.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I apologize. I posted that I had hit a million as a joke. And, you know, it gives me a lot of confidence because people didn't realize that I was joking.
I didn't know.
They believed me.
I'm not on Instagram very much, so I don't hang out there. It's not my thing. I post there. So I didn't really know. I thought there's something happening that I didn't know about. So that's what I wanted to find out.
So I want to apologize to anyone that I deceived. I'm clearly a politician or something where I fabricate everything that comes out. But
alternate truths.
It was a joke that maybe it'll become a reality. I think it was Jim Carrey wrote himself a check for like $1 million or something really high.
Yeah.
And then he ended up cashing that check out later on. He went from broke to a millionaire and he wrote himself a check when he was broke.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just my my check to myself.
You're just manifesting the follower count. That's all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's manifesting it. Well, maybe this will help. We'll get it out in the universe. All right. Listen, all you Instagram fans, what are you on Instagram, Ben?
Real Ben Albert.
Real Ben Albert. Let's make it happen, folks.
I'm going to have to get rid of the word real, though, after that stunt.
Almost real Ben Albert. Real Ben Albert. All right. So you have 900 followers on Instagram, but soon to be more. How do you translate Instagram to something valuable in some way, either for your like other than just ego? Like, how do you take Instagram and turn it into something? And since we're talking about business people, let's go there first.
Yeah, I mean, my main piece of advice would be to figure out what social media platform is working the best for you, and then triple down on that platform. Don't try to be an expert on everything. My bread and butter is networking on LinkedIn. But to address Instagram, I don't think people really follow brands or businesses per se. You know, your roofer down the road, they do your roof whenever you need it. They come help with your gutters or any leakage, but you're not liking every one of their posts. You're not really following on Instagram. People like to follow people, not businesses. So,
yeah,
you know, even if you're a business, the more you can bring your staff into it, the more you can bring in cat photos and just, you know, friendly things like that. But more than anything, I think any business person that wants to utilize Instagram needs to be utilizing it with a personal profile that basically is them. It's a place where people can get to know you. You are the brand. You're the person they're going to follow. And it's really just creating that conversation where there's people with, you know, millions of followers on Instagram for one reason or another, and they might not be monetizing it at all. If you had 5 million followers, it would be very easy to, for example, promote a product and just monetize your Instagram with an affiliate code. But even if you only have 500, 1,000, 3,000, doesn't matter, followers on Instagram, it's all about creating, you know, an army of people that support you, where I'd rather have 500 people that love my services, can get value from me, and I have great conversations with, than a million people that only like me because I'm a model or something ridiculous or a celebrity. So even if your viewership's very small, if you can build a relationship with your audience, the goal isn't, I don't think, to monetize the Instagram. It's more to build trust, create rapport, and have conversations with your audience where if you do have a product or service, you can have a one-on-one conversation about that. But I don't recommend trying to pitch your product and service over Instagram because it just isn't a good look, in my opinion.
Yeah. The ones that I see on Instagram, if they're actually them, like if it's real, though. I feel like they've worked really hard to make the photos perfect. And a lot of them, it just seems like it's kind of reverted back to like old school advertising in a way where they've created an image of what they want the world to see, think that they are, which is how marketing, at least how I learned when I was younger, you know, for businesses, you create the image. So Instagram, yeah. Am I wrong with that?
I think you're spot on. I think it's never always just one thing or the other. There's always stories for every case, but we could really digress into a huge conversation on mental health and the fact where someone could be, let's say, for example, you're an Instagram model, your boyfriend's an Instagram model. All you've done all week is fight. It's been miserable. The entire time you're on vacation, you're in a beautiful Caribbean island that anyone would die to be. The entire time you're fighting, you're miserable, complaining. The flight went poorly. You put on some makeup. You guys take photos where you look like the happiest people on earth when behind the veil, you're only human. And there's a high probability that your satisfaction level, your happiness, is actually way lower than someone who's getting zero attention at all. So it definitely can be a cause of concern. To provide one other example, is I heard this story ultimately. I don't know who it was, so I can't, you know, throw anyone under the bus or call them out. But I guess at the start of COVID, they showed up to, you know, a cleanup. Oh, it was not, sorry. It was COVID, but it was after a BLM protest. They showed up after the protest to quote unquote help. I'm doing the finger thing, help with the cleanup.
Yeah.
When I guess they just grabbed a hammer or two, took some photos, then got back in their car and left. So they showed up to create an image that they were there, when truth is they they weren't there at all. They're just pretending to be
posers.
And to add posers, exactly, and to add a little bit of light on a dark, you know, a dark concept. At the end of the day, if you're actually there, actually helping, and you genuinely care, the people that know you are going to see that and recognize that. You might have less followers, you might manipulate less people, but the people that are actually paying attention to what you do are going to see that you are a genuine person. And those people are way more important than the person that you're trying to fake your way to getting, you know, in the door with.
Yeah. All right, Ben. Well, we've had some good stuff from you today. Gosh, listen, everybody out there, look for Ben Albert, and he's got some good stuff. You just got some great actionable items, which is what Ben likes. He likes to get them and he likes to give them. We talked about a few things. One of the things that you said that really hit me, especially on social, when you're approaching people on LinkedIn, you said not trying too hard to do too much. I think that pretty much covers everything, right? Not trying too hard to do too much. Ben talked about how do you meet people over social, and he's big time into LinkedIn. So introduce yourself with confidence, make an observation, a compliment, call to action, let the person know how you can help them. Above all, just be genuine and be a good person. All right, Ben, hey, it's time for the questions. You ready?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, here we go.
It's time to answer the questions. I double dare you.
All right, we are going to do the questions now, and my associate and full-time daughter, part-time co-host, Brenna, take it away.
All right, we're going to start off light and easy here with this first question. We talked a little bit about your love for music, so I'm curious, who's your favorite musician or band or artist? Could be worldwide known, could be nationally known, could be regionally known. Whoever's at the top of your listening playlists.
As you know, as a musician, it's like the hardest question to answer some of the time.
Yes, it's like suddenly I don't know any musicians.
Well, it's almost like choose a 6-month period, and the answer might change based on the current 6-month period.
And you don't want to make anybody mad either.
Okay, let me narrow in the question a little farther.
Are you going to let him off the hook?
Who is your favorite? No, just I understand the pressure to answer the question. Okay. Who is your favorite artist today?
Oh, today, like right now,
right this second.
Right this second. I got to give it to the Dip.
All right, who's the Dip?
Do they open for the Pickles?
No. the Pickle Mafia. Yeah. The Dip, and again, you know, it changes every 6 months. The Dip, they play like throwback, like Motown-y sounding soul R&B music.
Oh.
But they have like a modern style. It's that, like, that new soul style to it. And the singer's got like a beautiful voice, like a Bruno Mars. It's all like classic, funky, throwback, vintage jams. And they really crush it. They wouldn't be my first choice long term. But when it comes to, like, let's say I'm at a get together, a party, when things are opening back up, if you want to throw on a band that everybody at the party is going to like, guaranteed, the Dip's one of those bands that really crush it.
Wow. Awesome. Hey, who did we see on the Grammys? Who was the R&B guy? Wasn't he? Or funk?
Silk Sonic.
Was it Silk Sonic?
No, the Black Pumas.
I can't remember now. I think he won an award,
the only
right?
Two options.
I think he won an award. Black Pumas. I think I like both of those.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm older.
Awesome.
Like, that
lovely
was like
answer.
My time. All right.
I'm gonna go look up that band later because that sounds right up my alley. Okay. Question number two. Is there somebody that people tell you look like?
I don't think so. I'm thinking because, you know, it's really funny because I forget his name, but a friend of mine, her name is Jen Hamilton, and she messaged me on Facebook one day a couple years ago, and she said, "Ben, what the heck are you doing with my grandparents?" And there was a photo of allegedly me with her grandparents at a wedding, and this gentleman is not me. However, he looks exactly like a crossbreed between my brother and I. Literally, he's got my face, he's got my brother's hair, He's got a little bit more of my brother's body type. He has my face, and he was wearing like a top hat. And with his beard type being exactly like mine in that photo, it actually looked like a carbon copy image that if I had never seen the photo before and saw it out of context, I might have even thought it was me. So other than this random guy that I need to, you know, my father, rest in peace, I got a couple questions for him.
Yeah, you need to have a conversation with your mom.
I brought it up to her, and she had no clue what I was talking about. But other than this random person,
got a mysterious doppelganger.
And you don't know who it is?
I gotta go into my messages because I can find it. I sent him a request on Facebook at one point, like strange. 2 years ago. Yeah, he didn't accept my request.
Like, are you my brother?
Was it? My brother was pretty pissed off when I showed it to him. He's like, "That's not possible."
Moving on to the last question. It's a bit of a deeper question. It's your last day on Earth, and your very last journal entry or social media post of your life, what will you say you are most proud of?
Wow. And I'm assuming it's just my last day of, it's just me. I'm the only one that's going.
That's up for interpretation.
Okay. So, and it's a social media or journal post, and it's what I'm most proud of. I guess I would really just provide a list of things that I'm grateful for. You know, I'm proud of my family for how they raised me. I'm proud of all my friends and people I've met along the way that have all just been incredible people. And really, I just have gratitude and solace and just excitement to be alive, right? Every morning. Ultimately, let me ask a question for you guys. If you could have $1 million tomorrow, but you wouldn't have the opportunity to live, so you'd have to give your life, but your family could have $1 million, would you give your life so your family has $1 million? Or would you not take the money and do anything to live the next day?
Wait, we only get to live one more day? Or we just keep living?
I might have asked that. Yeah, I might have asked that confusing. You have two options, Russ. Yeah. You have two options. Either you get to continue to live, or you don't get to continue to live, but you get $1 million.
Well, I'd let my family choose. I'd let them debate it, and I'd say, you know what? It's in your hands now, so you choose. Let me know. Now, that might just be because I'm a Libra and I have trouble making decisions, but I feel I feel like that's the loophole in this question, so I'm going to go with that.
She Kobayashi Maru'd it right there. For those Star Trek fans, they'll know what I'm talking about. Oh, my gosh. You too much, Brenna. All right. Well, my answer is I'm going to go with forget the money. I'm going to keep living. And the reason is because I think I can provide more than $1 million worth of value in the short term, even, not even the long term. So I'm going to stay alive. I'm going to stay involved. I'm going to keep working and keep making things better that I, you know, within my ability and within my little circle. That's the plan. You know what? Probably going to generate more than $1 million anyways before I croak. God willing and the creek don't rise, as Grandpa used to say.
Mm-hmm.
Manifest it.
That's my answer.
Write that check.
Right.
And I agree with both your answers. Yeah. I would say I would take life over money any day. I think I have more than $1 million left in me, even in the short term, and I can give value. And the whole reason I bring this thought experiment up is I'm just so darn grateful to have another day, that my parents birthed me out of the million of, you know, sperm cells, whatever that could have. Just the fact I exist is kind of wowing. So I guess, you know, I'd be writing in my diary, it's all about just the gratitude that I had this opportunity. And I'd want people to know that, you know, their life is worth millions of dollars. And I want other people to be grateful as well, simply for having this opportunity. You know, it's an amazing world we live in with the good and the bad. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. It's a special place, and we have a great opportunity at life.
That's a great way to look at life, Ben. Appreciate you very much. That's a great way to close off this episode. How can people find you, Ben?
Sure. We already said my Instagram is at RealBenAlbert. LinkedIn, you can type in Ben Albert. I hope I come right up. But ultimately,
you do, by
website,
the way.
Awesome. Website is balbertmarketing.com. Podcasts, Rochester Groovecast. Pretty much how it sounds, Rochester Groovecast. It's a music culture podcast, and Rochester Business Connections. Again, exactly how it sounds. It's a business connection, networking, hyper Western New York localized podcast, ultimately highlighting the region and the great business owners in it. So at Real Ben Albert, Rochester Groovecast, Rochester Business Connections, LinkedIn. I love having conversations, so just reach out and say hello.
Oh, thanks, Ben. We really appreciate having you here. You're the kind of person that we'd like to connect with. Wish you the absolute best moving forward. We're going to stay connected, right? We'll do something together somehow, even if it's a trip to Rochester to see a band when the Armory opens back up.
See
a big show up there or something like that. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, let's go.
You are the kind of guy that we like to connect with and look forward to spending more time with you in the future. And now it's time for our show outro. That concludes another episode of Going Boldly. I hope you were entertained and you discovered at least one nugget of wisdom or advice that you can put into action immediately. Or maybe you received some inspiration from today's episode. And I'm certain you know at least one person who needs this podcast. Please share it with them. You might be the important link that will change their life for the better. Subscribing means you will not miss an episode, and it will make it easier for me to schedule guests because I can show them that the audience is growing. So, please subscribe. It will benefit us all. Let me know how I can make this show even better. Leave a comment and send me a DM. I read everyone personally, and I do my best to respond to each and every one. As a thank you, I'll be awarding prizes. And to keep you on your toes, the winners will be randomly selected from names I find in the comments, shares, DMs, and from the list of subscribers. Prizes might be Going Boldly merch or products supplied by my guests, or just something random and fun. But you have to comment, share, DM, or subscribe to be eligible to win. A special thanks to Brenna Swanger at Waverly Manor Studios for our great theme music. And finally, thanks for listening. Go boldly, keep at it, and wash your hands.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.